Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words with me, your host, Kevin Treasure, author of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Our aim is to help people win in life through the power of their words. You are born to win.
Evil. Many people are evil, but many evil people have been saved and delivered and set free and their lives turned around. I know some gangsters, I know drug dealers, I know gunmen, badmen, prostitutes, and all kinds of people that I'm not even going to say on this podcast that God has saved and touched their life and turned them around for His glory and honor and is now using them for His glory. Amen. If I could tell you the people that I know personally, they used to do some things that, listen to me, that would get them locked up forever, but God saved their soul, and the same God wants to save them is the same God, if you're not saved, wants to save you too. He said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." And He said that He wants you to know. So He says, "Now I know the plans that I have for you." So now He's making it known. Listen to me. So He wants to make it known. The plans He has for you, the thoughts He thinks towards you. He said, plans to prosper you. I want you to prosper. Now listen, when people hear prosperity, they think a nice car, big house, big home, jewelry and gold and silver and money. Listen to me, prosperity is more than that. Come on. If you have not got to this point in life where you think that's prosperity, there are people earning six figures and listen to me, they're jumping off buildings, ending their life. Why? Because their money cannot make them happy. Because there's things going on in their life that they're struggling with. There's things that they're dealing with. And money is not the solution. I tell people there's a part in every human being. There's a jigsaw puzzle. There's a puzzle piece missing in every human being. And people try to fill it with money, sex, drugs, rock and roll, fame, all kinds of things. But let me tell you something. Now, there's a part in every human being that only God can fulfill. And people try and fill it with the lottery, with raving, with dancing, with party, with all kinds of things that are materialistic and cannot satisfy. And God's saying there's a part reserved for human being that only I can fill, that only I can satisfy. And He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans to prosper you. Amen. When I go home and I come home from work and I see my wife and I see my children, amen. I have a roof over my head, amen. I've got food on my table. I may not have what I have, but I have good. I've got a healthy marriage. Amen. Amen. I've got children. Amen. God has been good to me. I may not have a house on the hill and I may have $1 million, but I have God. Amen. And I'm content. The Bible says learning to be content. Amen. Whether I have much or I have little, learning to be content, but I have God. Amen. I have God. I'm not where I was. Amen. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. I have God. He says, "Puts to prosper you." And God wants us to prosper. But when we prosper, amen, He doesn't want prosper. Listen to me. He doesn't want us the money to have us or the things to have us. Amen. God will prosper a man that puts Him first. Amen. Abraham was prosperous in silver and gold and cattle and sheep. Amen. When you look at the patriarchs, they were prosperous. They were prosperous. Why? Because they had a covenant with God. Why? Because they sought God first. They loved God. And when someone loves God, God can give them anything. But He says, this is my desire. My desire is to prosper you. I don't want poverty. It's not my portion. It's not your portion. You cannot glorify God in poverty. You cannot help others if you're in poverty. I cannot bless you if I'm poor. So God says, it's time to prosper you. I want to prosper you. Amen. That's other version says, to do you good. My plans for you are to do you good. Plans for welfare, another version says. So God is concerned about your welfare. He's concerned about your prosperity and your prosperity. You could have money, but you could have bad health. So He's concerned about your health. He's concerned about every area of your life. And this is the God that we serve. This is the plan that I have for you. It's a good plan. Some of you are single and you say, well, God knows the man that I have for you. I have a great man for you. I have a great woman for you. I have a great person for you. A person that's after my own heart. A person that will look after you, do you right, won't abuse you, won't harm you. Amen. A person that will treat you like a queen and a person that will serve you like a king. Listen to me. I know the plans that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil. And many people think that when I speak to them, say, boy, preacher, boy, I'm speaking to the people on the road and the people may be selling drugs or doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't do, and I'm on the road and I'm speaking to say, preacher, you don't know what I'm doing, you know, and I'm preaching, I'm doing some things that I'm not proud of, and say, listen, we all been there, but listen to me, God still loves you and He still has a plan for you, but He's saying, come, He's saying, turn from that life. There's a better life that I have for you. There is a better plan that I have for you. And they say, boy, preacher, if you only know the things that I've done. And I tell them, boy, if you only know the things that I done, if you only know the things that I done, But if God can touch me and turn my life around, He can touch you and turn your life around. And some people say, well, preacher, you know what? I'm not ready. Let me get right first, and let me get right, and then I come to Jesus. I tell people straight, does anybody take a bath before they go in the shower? I say to them, does anybody in the right mind, who takes a bath before they go in the shower? No. The shower is what gets you clean. You don't need to take a bath before you go in the shower. You go in the shower to get clean. Amen. So you saying get right before you come to God, it's like you're saying, I want to go in the bath before I get in the shower. No, you come and you take the shower. The shower gets you clean. The shower is Jesus. It will shower you with blessings, amen. Shower you with good things, amen. It's the shower that gets you clean. So you're trying to make yourself right before you get right with God. Amen. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. God is saying, come to me, I can make you clean. You're clean through the word. Jesus is the word made manifest. He is the word made flesh. So come to the word and the word will clean you. You want to be clean? Come to Him. You want to be right with God? Come to Him. And I speak to so many people and they say they think that God is still this God of the Old Testament. Amen. He's the God of wrath and He's out of judgment. And listen to me. You die without Jesus. Listen to me. That's your own judgment because you've made a decision to ignore the free gift. Amen. You've made a decision, amen, to ignore what God has offered to your sins to be washed away. He's given you everything. He's made a way. He's saying, here it is. I've provided the lamb. I've provided the sacrifice needed for you to be welcomed into eternal life. So all you need to is receive it. Repent, receive atonement that has come through Jesus Christ's blood. Amen. The blood makes atonement for the sin. And He's saying, I've provided the lamb. You, in the days of old, they had to go looking for a lamb, looking for a bull, amen, and the evening sacrifice, amen, and all these different types of sacrifices. But God said, I have provided the lamb. I have made the atonement for the sin. All you need to now is come in. Oh my God, rhyming accidentally. So that's what God is saying. He said, I've got good plans for you. I want to tell the drug dealer, He's got good plans for you. You don't need to sell drugs no more. You're sitting in prison listening to this. He's saying, I've got good plans for you. And some of you are doing some things and maybe doing some things that I can't even talk about on the radio. But God is saying, I've got good plans for you. He's saying, I know you. Amen. I know what you did last night, last week, who you done it with. He's saying, I know what you've done, who you done it with, and how long you've been doing it. He said, but I still love you and I still care for you. And He said, I know you. I need you to know there's a plan. And it's a good plan. Plan to prosper you, some versions say. You've got to understand the character of God. I tell people, listen to me. Jesus never had any problems with sinners. Read the scriptures. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the scriptures. Jesus had no problems with sinners. The problems that Jesus had with were religious people, religious folk. And I still see that today. He has no problems with sinners. He ate and dined with sinners. He had problem with religious folk. The folk that say, look at me, I pay my tithes and I fast twice a week and I give to this and I do this and I don't know, and I'm not like other men. God is tired of the religious people. He's tired of it. And the Bible says the publican came and he smote his chest and he couldn't even look up because he knows what he had done. He said, Father, just have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. The sinner in me, have mercy. And the Bible says that man went down more righteous, declared righteous in the eyes of God than the religious people. God is saying, get rid of the religion. There are some real people with real issues, and I need you to spread the real gospel to them, to let them know I love them. When you understand His character, His purpose for you is good and not of evil. Some versions said it's of good and not for disaster. God is not plotting against you. He's not conspiring against you. His desire is to bless you and do you good at your latter end. I'm going to say that again. God is not plotting against you. God is not conspiring against you. When things go bad, they're like, oh, and it's all because of this and because of that. And people think and all kinds of things. And then an enemy comes to sow all kinds of things. You've got to get the right concept of God. You've got to know the character of God. The children of Israel, God brought them out with miracles, signs, and wonders. Going back to the start, God brought them out through a man of God. Look at the miracles. Look at the signs. Amen. And everything they were going through, the Bible says when all these things that happens with Israel, the Bible says there was light in Goshen. When all their cattle were falling, listen to me, the cattle of God's people were protected. And God is showing them all through all these plagues that I am with you. I am with you. The judgment fell on the wicked, not on the righteous. I'm going to say that again. The judgment fell on the wicked, not on God's people. And this is a testament. It fell on the wicked. And God protected his people, brought them out. And through the last and final sign, the Bible says, listen to me, the Passover, which is a sign of Jesus is our Passover lamb. And I want you to put the blood on the doors and the lintels, amen. Shut the door because the death angel is going to pass by. And he killed all the firstborn. And you need to know he killed all the firstborn of every cattle and every human. He killed all the firstborn. And the Bible says he brought them out. And what did he bring them out with? With gold and silver and riches. He gave them favor. One version says that they spoiled the Egyptians. So if you don't know that God had a great plan for you, God, if God can do that for the children of Israel, and he done all this, he brought them out with silver and gold. And when the enemies tried to chase after them, the Bible says he drowned them in the Red Sea. And they sung a song and they rejoiced. And God is trying to bring them, not just bring them out. He wants to bring them in. He wants to bring them into the promises of God. And the Bible says what was supposed to be a 3 or 4 week journey took 40 years. Why? Because Moses sent out 12 men from each tribe, leaders from each tribe, to go and spy out the land that God had promised them. And the Bible says they took 40 days and 40 nights to go and spy out the land. And it went all throughout the land. And the Bible says that they brought back a report after 40 days. And they brought back fruit of the land. They brought back the pomegranates, the grapes and the figs. Amen. The Bible says the grapes that they brought were so big, they had to carry it between two. Why? Because they were giants in the land. So that means they're eating giants' food. And the Bible says 10 men brought back a negative report, an evil report. But 2 men, Caleb and Joshua, brought back the report of the Lord. They said, God is well able to deliver us. They said, the Amorites are here, and then the Canaanites are there. The sons of Anakim are there, and the sons of the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so were we in their sight. I believe Numbers chapter 13, last verse there. And the Bible says in chapter 14, if you read chapter 14, the Bible says, and when they heard that, the whole congregation lift up their voice. Let me find the word. Let me get into the word and read it for you. Amen. I'm going to read it for you. The Bible says, when they heard that, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and against God, that he said, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? Wherefore have the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should pray, were not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephthah, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we pass through to search it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land, and he will give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Because they had a negative report, because 10 people saw the problem and not the solution, amen. Because 10 people, amen, saw the giants and not the grapes, amen, they brought back a negative report. And listen to what the people said. God brought us out of Egypt to kill us and to kill our wives and to kill our children. They had a wrong ideal of who God is and God's plan. With all the good things that God had done for them, with taking them out of bondage, they was in slavery for 400 years. God brought them out, amen, with a mighty hand, with terrible signs and wonders, amen. And he didn't bring them out poor, he brought them out wealthy with gold and silver. They put jewels on their children, they had so much. And he destroyed their enemies in the Red Sea after seeing all that. And you still believe that God has an evil plan for you. To say God was as upset is an underestimation. God said, how long shall I bear this evil congregation? Because they didn't believe me, he said, anybody 20 and up will never see the land. And they had to go through the land 40 years until that whole generation died. Everybody in that generation died. Why? Because they didn't believe the character of God. And the God that you imagine is the God that you're going to serve. I'm going to say that again. The God that you have imagined is the God that you're going to serve. And if you think that, like the book in that says, I believe, is it Matthew 25? I'll have to look again. When Jesus says, and when he gives the parables, he says, listen to me. A great man went and he gave talents. He gave 1-1, 1-2, and 1-5. And he took a long journey. And after his journey, he came back. And he said, the one of five, he said, behold, master, I've gained another five. He said, well done, O good and faithful servant. Amen. I believe Luke's version says, I'll make you Lord over 10 cities.
Thank you for tuning to The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Check out our website, kevintreasure.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are born to win.